Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So, of course, Wentz gets the ball back and throws a bomb to, you know, whatever his name is, Hightower. And they're now in business in the red zone. But 5 minutes left and they're at about the 10-yard line of the Giants. And, I mean, they have no time here to be running up the middle and all their BS. Of course, they run it up the middle. So now they're down, you know, they got a penalty. So it's first and goal now from the 4. They're going to be at about the 4 or 3 yard line, and they're going to have first and goal. They need to get in the end zone, Philadelphia. I don't know what they're waiting for. Like they have all night or something. They're down 2 scores. It's 21-10. They need to get in the end zone now, and then they still have to get the ball back and score again. Any way you slice it, they're going to be down 4 if they score. You know, if they get 7 out of it, if they go for 2, they're going to be down 3. So I guess they got to go for 2 when they score here, right? Bottom line, so that they can try to get a field goal to tie it at the end if they get the ball back. But they moved the ball pretty quickly there after the Wentz bomb. I'll give you that. Later this hour, Joe Lisi, per usual on a Thursday night, breaking down all the college football games on Friday and Saturday. We already told you Appalachian State, a big winner tonight on the college football field. They blew out Apps. State was a winner over Arkansas State, 45-17. So we'll break down all the big games, including tomorrow night, Illinois and Wisconsin in Madtown at Camp Randall, plus Tulsa USF and Louisiana UAB. Also another week one, Jacksonville State and Florida International, no offense, touchdown Eagles. So they're in, and Ward. And then Ward scores a touchdown and throws a punch. And now I got to see who this flag's on. Now I got to see who that flag's on because I saw Ward throw the punch. Ward threw the punch. You got to see it yourself, Mavi. You cannot call this on the Giants. I don't care what he said to him. Ward threw a punch.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys. And I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, first of all, they called the personal foul on the Giants defense. I thought it was a legit tackle on the pass. Ward caught it for a touchdown. The guy tackled him like he should have at the goal line. Guy's in the end zone, touchdown, no big deal. He gets up. Ward shoves him in the head. Then he didn't like it. So the guy came back at Ward, and then Ward shoved him again, and then they threw the flag on the Giants D. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I thought it was a lousy call. So then they give him the ball at the one and a 2-point conversion. What do? They're so creative, the Eagles. They really are just so ingenious. Their coach, with all of his great play calling, Peterson, like in the Super Bowl with the play to Foles that fooled the Patriots. Here's what he did on this play. Wentz ran student body right, and he literally fumbled. He got hit and fumbled, and they did not score. So it's 21-16, and now they're kicking off to the Giants. The only thing the Eagles have going for them is, and they're still dancing. They're dancing after they make the tackle on the kickoff. Is there anything worse than players that dance and they're still losing the game? You're losing the game, and you're still showboating. You're still dancing after you make a tackle on a kickoff. Who cares? You made a tackle. Look at me. I'm such a star. Look at me. I made a tackle. Look, I'm going to pound my chest. I mean, you just look like such a drip. Anyway, here's the deal. 4.5 minutes left. They have to stop them. They have 3 timeouts. They got to get the ball, and they got to score a touchdown. A field goal is not going to do them any good. I got to tell you, though, they moved down the field quickly with Wentz with the bomb. So, but the Giants get a first down on the very first run. They gain, 12, 13 yards on the first play from scrimmage. They get the ball. They run right through the tackles. Boom. They get a huge gain. You know, it's funny. When they got the ball the last time, Mafia, they moved down the field like a bobsled team, and they literally ran it down their throats. They barely passed it. They just ran it down their throats the whole length of the field. Like, they went about 80 yards, and then they scored the touchdown to Shepard on a pass. But I've been impressed with the Giants tonight. At the very least, they were losing. They fumbled before the half, and then Elliott missed the kick. And then they end up coming out in the second half and basically pushing the Eagles around for the entire second half. And just now, after they gained 13 on the first play, they run again. This time they go left tackle, and the guy gains 10 more. So they've got, 23 yards and 2 carries. Running right at the Eagles, right up the middle, right at off tackle, and just right in your face. And the Eagles can't stop them. They can't stop their running attack right now. And, you know, I've heard all I can take about the Eagles' great pass rush. You know, you've heard that. They have this great pass rush. 127 rushing yards in this half alone by the Giants. They have run the ball down their throats. That's all there is to it. You know, I have to look at the number in all actuality to absorb what they've done on the ground in this game. They have, I mean, it's unbelievable. So 160 rushing yards in the game. I think that's accurate. So they have Jones has thrown for 179 yards, 2 TDs and a pick, but they have run the ball down their throats. 21 rushes. They're averaging 7.6 yards a rush. And they're just killing them. You know, they don't even have as many first downs as the Eagles, 17, and Eagles have 21. But now the Eagles have more yards, 368 to 323. They have more passing yards, but they don't have more rushing yards. The Giants have rushed it and rushed it and rushed it down their throats. Now they're at, you know, around the 47, 48-yard line. They're right near midfield, and there's under 3 minutes to go. Eagles are down to two timeouts, and now it's third down. I mean, this is it right here. The game's on the line, if you ask me. They got to stop them here, Mafia, if you ask me. They're not going to get the ball back. If they give up another first down, it's going to – that's it. You know, they can stop it twice. Well, they got the two-minute warning, so it'll stop three times. But I guess they need more than one first down here. What, this first down guarantees that the Eagles are in big trouble. One more first down and the game's over. So they need two to finish them.
It'll kill the clock to about the point that even if you get them, you know, the next time after they get a first down and you stop them after that and make them punt, you're still going to have like 12 seconds left with no timeout. So you need to stop them now.
Well, they did. Ingram just dropped a wide open floater from Jones down the left sideline, a perfect pass right off his fingertips. And it would have been a big gainer of like 25 yards. And he dropped it. It was right on his fingertips and he just dropped it. He should have caught that. I mean, that ball was right in his hands.
You give him an extra stoppage on that too. Why not run it? You run the ball down the throat left and right. Like, even if you don't get it, you still run the clock down to the 2 minute warning. Now they have 2:10. They have the 2 minute warning after this play plus two timeouts.
Now they kick it and punt it to Jackson at the other end, and he's down again. That didn't take long for him to get injured. Jackson's down on the field, injured again. Oh, my God. This guy, he's an infirmary. He can't even move. He's got his helmet off. He's injured. It is unbelievable. This guy is injured again. You have got to be kidding me. I have seen it all. I don't even know what happened to him here. He caught it.
They made the play so quick. Now they got a third stoppage. Now before the two-minute warning, stopped at 2:02. So you get this two-minute warning and two more timeouts.
I don't understand what he got injured with. What do you think it was? The late hit there? Did he get kneed in the head or something? Or I think he got punched in the head. It looked like the guy punched him in the head when he came by with like a little drive-by and he kind of slapped him in the head. Oh, it looks like he cranked his right ankle back in his calf. He's holding on to his calf. He can't even walk. They're carrying him off the field. Yeah, the way he got bent over,
he turns under. It's just all the weight underneath him there.
Now he's injured again. He'll be out another year. This guy gets injured. I mean, Mafia, you thought I got injured a lot, but I played through all the injuries. I always played through injuries. I play with everything. This guy, I mean, he gets injured when the wind blows. You got to admit,
The Deshaun Jackson Memorial IR.
I mean, it really is unbelievable, isn't it? All right, so, you know, coming up, we're going to talk in a little bit here to Joe Lisi, our good friend from College Football Today. And I just have to tell you this. The Big Ten is going to determine whether to cancel games based on the COVID by positivity rates within a team. And if a game can't be played, it's going to be a no contest. No one wins, no one loses, no one plays. They begin their season tomorrow night when Wisconsin hosts Illinois. They're attempting to play an 8-game conference season in 8 weeks, plus a 9th game for all 14 teams during Big Ten Champions Week, the weekend of December 19th. In order to complete that and be in the Big Ten Championship game, a team must play at least 6 games according to tiebreaker rules in the conference. They have all this stuff going on. A test positivity rate for a team, if it exceeds 5%, a team must stop regular practice and competition for a minimum of 7 days and reassess metrics until approved. So it won't count as a win or a loss because of the league's schedule. There's no flexibility or bye weeks built in. So conference officials have accounted for the possibility of unbalanced schedules in a lengthy tiebreaker policy. It's similar to that of the Pac-12, which was released earlier this week. If the average number of Big Ten games falls below 6, then teams must play no less than 2 fewer conference games than the average number of Big Ten games played by all teams to be considered for the league championship. The champion will be determined in each division by its winning percentage unless there's an unbalanced schedule because of the cancellation of games. if two or more teams have the same number of conference losses but a different number of wins, head-to-head results will be taking precedence over winning percentage. So there's a lot going on there. What that means in Portuguese is if a team gets COVID, they won't play, and the game will be a no contest. And then they're going to start paring it down from 8, 7, 6. You get below 6 games, you're going to have problems on your hands. We'll hook up with Joe Lisi next and break down all of college football for Friday and Saturday. You got to love it.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So the Eagles had chances right before the half for the Elliott field goal. He missed that. And then they got down to the 3-yard line, got stopped. That would have been, and they went for it on fourth down. That would have been points. They scored and then went for two and fumbled. I mean, they've had every chance in the world to not only win this game, but to cover the spread in this game. And now with a minute left, they're on the Giants 5-yard line. And what they'll do is, if they score, they'll win the game, but they're not going to cover. Now, originally, when that line opened up, it was 6.5, and I was all over it. Then when it went to 3.5, I said, yeah, I think Philly will win by 4. And then they're going to win this game, and they're not going to cover. So I should have never, like, I had it when it came out and then got off of it. Mafia's like, it's not 6.5 anymore. It's 3.5 in a matter of hours, right? Because everybody pounced on the 6.5. So Joe Lisi, College Football Today. We always love having Joe on Thursday nights. And I'm sure he's watching this game right now. He probably already saw Appalachian State kick Arkansas State's ass and cover the 13. So we're watching the end of this Philly game. How you doing, Joe?
Oh, I'm at the edge of my seat here, Scotty. I'm with you. I have the over and I have the Giants with the points and on the money line. So sweating this game out here. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I'm not... you know, I don't know. They've struggled so badly, I think, with their plays. And like right now, that pass right there was so pathetic. Like he obviously just threw it away, but now it's third and goal. So now they have two plays to get it in the end zone. No questions asked. And you've already seen them screw it up down here when Wentz ran for the 2-point conversion and fumbled and got lit up. I mean, I don't understand. They talk about, remember when he was in the Super Bowl, Joe, and Peterson was making all these genius play calling selections. And then now their play calling is so atrocious.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Peterson sucks, especially inside the red zone. I mean, I think he is really bad. I'm not kidding, Scotty. He is horrible inside the red zone. He really is. I mean, last week he runs Wentz on a 4th and inches. They don't get it. He did it again tonight on 4th and 1 or 3rd and 1. Could not get a yard. And then he went for it twice now on 4th down and couldn't convert points. He overthinks himself and definitely doesn't utilize his personnel. So, we'll see how this next 57 seconds play out. It's never easy with either of these teams.
Well, I don't know what this call is, but it clearly looks like, there's already holding on Fulgham. They tackled him going into the end zone. But I don't think that they gave him the ball first and goal. So the call was against the Giants. I don't know what the call was. I saw Fulgham get tripped or, you know, tackled, held, whatever you want to call it. Because I'm not listening, so maybe you know more than I do, but I don't know what the call is, but the Giants are in big trouble here. First and goal, Philly has the ball, and they're at the about the 3-yard line, so there's a lot going on here, and I know that call certainly helped them, gave them an automatic first down, so there's 50 seconds left, and they got 2 timeouts, they got plenty of time to score, but on the first down, they don't score, another flag comes in. Do you think they'll ever be able to run a play without a flag, Joe?
Probably not. It's unbelievable. I mean, there's like 4 flags on this drive, literally. And what about the drive that started with the sack of Wentz? There was a flag on that as well. Unbelievable so right now. How many flags?
So this one is Kelsey's going to get it for grabbing the face mask and pulling it off the guy's head. That looks like that is what that call is. But the call before that was Logan Ryan, a defensive holding on when they tackled Folgum. Now you get Kelsey a face mask, and that I guess that's the call. So now they're back at the 18-yard line, and they're in big trouble. This is going to help you tremendously, Joe. They move the Eagles all the way with the holding. They're moving them all the way back to the 18, and they have to score a touchdown. It's first and goal, but they don't have time for all this. And then he did catch it for the touchdown. Oh, my God. That pass to Scott was unbelievable. Back shoulder. Boston Scott just caught a touchdown. Now, I'm sure it'll take 5 minutes to determine if he was in, but that looked like a touchdown to me.
Well, I'm on a delay here, so I didn't see it yet. So you're ahead of me right now. So I'm still looking at Doug Peterson. Look at the play call here. It's amazing. But I'll give you my thoughts in a couple of minutes. But they got to go for 2 to make it a 3-point game. And then what about... Do they get it? Because Daniel Jones will have a chance to tie this ball game.
Well, it's definitely a touchdown. There's no question asked that he caught it, and he's in the end zone, clearly inside the pylon. There's no foot question or anything else. He's clearly in. So that's a touchdown, and they got the lead now. They're up 1 or whatever. They're going to go for 2. They haven't been very successful at that all night. But I have to ask you, Joe, beyond Peterson, it really is amazing to me how bad they really are. Like, I just can't figure it out because I think Wentz is going to have some big numbers tonight when it's all said and done because he threw that bomb to Hightower or whatever. I think that's the guy's name. And then he just moved him down the field again. At the end of the day, he's going to have some big numbers. But, when I watched him the whole game, I thought he was terrible. Like, am I imagining things? Like, because I just don't think he's good.
No, I don't. I think he forces balls into coverage, stares down receivers. And here's the other thing, too. They never seem to get up. Do you ever see Philly play with a lead? They're always playing from behind, literally. I mean, they had the lead 7-0 in this matchup, but then it was quickly tied, and they're always playing from behind. That's the MO of this offense and defense. They can't stop anybody, and they're going to be like this all year long. And Carson Wentz has regressed, Scott, since his first couple of years in the league. People will stick up for him. But again, he throws way too many balls into coverage, and you can't have that as a quarterback.
All right, so Hurts was the quarterback in the 2-point conversion. They had a penalty declined by the Giants, and so no 2-point conversion. It's 22-21, 40 seconds left. You have to express, at the very least, that the Giants, frankly, blew this game. I mean, they had this game. They were up 21-10, and they blew the game. There's no getting around it, Joe. Honestly, they blew it.
Yeah, they did. I mean, this is going into this game, 7 straight losses for the Giants. This is amazing against Philly. So we'll see. That's the thing, though, Scotty. I mean, all year long, they've played very close games, and some of the better teams in the NFL, right? Week 1, it was Pittsburgh. Then it was Chicago. They went toe-to-toe with Dallas. So they're in each and every ballgame. They just can't pull out wins. But that hopefully will come in year number 2 with Joe Judge.
I mean, I can't even explain what I just saw. I just cannot believe, like, on the 3rd down pass to Ingram, could you believe it? He threw a perfect floater to him down the left side, and it went off his fingertips. He catches that ball. It's game over. Instead, they punt it away Philly go down and score.
Yeah, remember the movie Necessary Roughness with Scott Bakula? Don't throw the ball to Stonehands. That's what Evan Ingram was on that drive. He
that
turned
so
it to Stonehands. Oh, God. I was like, unbelievable with this guy. Unreal.
That's a great call by you, Joe. I love Joe. All right, here we go. Let's look at tomorrow night. Camp Randall, Illinois and Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, like originally this thing was 23. It moved down to 19.5. And Wisconsin's getting all kinds of juice for the playoff, too. They're in the, you know, top 10 in terms of teams that are allegedly in the running for the Big Ten and for the playoff. I don't believe for 1 minute. I have more chance to honestly be the president of the United States than Wisconsin does of making the playoff.
You're probably right. I just think like right now, Scotty, it's Ohio State and everybody else. I mean, Wisconsin may be able to run the table to maybe win 5 or 6 games, but I just don't see him cracking the college football playoff with Jack Cohn. Now, this game is going to be very difficult. Even though they're laying a big number, it's a revenge spot from last year. This is the game where they laid 28 points and lost the game outright the week before Ohio State. So keep an eye out for that. I would take the points with Illinois in this matchup.
Yeah, I did too. I got it at originally 23.5. Then Mafia's like, it's down to 20. You got to get it at 20. I'm like, all right. So I took it at 20. Also, Tulsa used SF in Tampa tomorrow night. Tulsa laying 10.5. I got it at 9.5. 10.5 is even juicier to me. I mean, both of these teams are terrible, aren't they, Joe?
They are, but USF is starting to play better under Jeff Scott. I mean, they challenged Temple last week, covered that number as a 13.5-point underdog. I like the total in this matchup, Scotty. Just check on the weather. There's some rain in the forecast in Tampa, but as long as it's a dry track, I think it could go over this total. I would take USF with the points. I think they're starting to come together, but I like the over a little bit more in this matchup, over 50.5.
Jones just got stripped and fumbled again. Game over. He just fumbled. This guy never stops. It always ends up being Daniel Jones. His interceptions and fumbles, they just never go away. He just fumbled the game away. It's lights out. Wouldn't it be funny if they came? Now, they won't do it because it's 22-21, but wouldn't it be great if he came in and kicked a field goal and covered the 3.5?
That would be great for both of us, right? We that would be great. You would love to see it. In the college game, maybe, but not in the NFL, I doubt it.
It's not going to happen, but I wish it would happen. And I want to thank the Eagles for all their blown chances tonight to get in the end zone, their multiple chances to score, their multiple errors, fumbles, missed field goals, everything else. They should have won this game by 12 points at least. Louisiana UAB is in Birmingham, and Louisiana is actually laying 3. I got 20 seconds, Joe, on this one.
Yeah, I like UL Lafayette in this matchup, Scotty. I think they're the better team on the offense and defensive line.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So you think Louisiana's better on both sides?
Yep.
All right, yeah, I think UAB will beat them at home. We'll see what happens. So we'll get into all of Saturday's games with Joe Lisi coming right back right now on the bench. All right, so Philly won the game 22-21. Giants choked. They were up 21-10 and let that happen in a matter of 6 minutes. I mean, it was just unbelievable how bad they are that they blew that game. They should have won that game 5 times. Anyway, we're talking to Joe Lisi from College Football Today. We always love hooking up with Joe on Thursday nights and going just raging through all the college football games that are going to be played Friday and Saturday. So let's go to Saturday's games, Joe. By the way, Joe hit a ton of games last week. The only game I didn't like that he was on was that Georgia Tech Clemson. I was all over Clemson in that game. Joe hits tons of games. Are you done with Georgia Tech yet after what you saw happen to them? Because I know you've bet on them and liked them and hit on them and made some money on them. But are you done with them now?
No, I'm not, Scotty. I mean, obviously playing Clemson, best team I think in the country right now. I mean, laying a big number, I was inclined to take that, especially playing at home after the game with Miami. But I think you can make some money on Georgia Tech, you know, against the middle-of-the-road teams within the ACC. Like this game against Boston College this week, I think there's some value And the rest of the way, as long as they're catching points, I'm inclined to take Georgia Tech the rest of the way.
Are you going to take them against Boston College and Chestnut Hill?
I might, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're catching around 3.5, 4 points now. I mean, it's not one of my better bets for the weekend, but I'm gonna see how this game day goes out on Saturday. It's a 4 o'clock kick, so I'm going to see how the 12 o'clocks go, even see if I can catch it from an in-game perspective, because there's so much value from the in-game. I mean, if Georgia Tech catching 4 falls behind 7-0, sometimes you can catch 14. You could even catch over 2 touchdowns. So there's some good value with the in-game perspective.
All right, Notre Dame and Pitt in Heinz Field. Notre Dame's laying 10. Pitt covered that 13 against Miami last week. What do you think? And Notre Dame looked terrible against Louisville.
Yeah, I like Notre Dame here. I mean, I'm not sold on Pittsburgh. Still can't run the football effectively. That was an athletic front with Miami last week. This is still an athletic and solid defense in Notre Dame. And I'm not sold on the consistency of Pitt's offense. They traditionally play Notre Dame very tough, but I'm laying the wood here on the road against the Panthers. Not sold on Narduzzi in a pick spot as well.
Syracuse, Clemson, at Clemson, they're laying 46.
Yeah, I can only look at the points here. I mean, I'm not betting this game in any capacity, but if I was able to bet this game or did have interest, I would take the points. I know Clemson dominated Georgia Tech, but traditionally, just go back over the last few years, Syracuse plays Clemson tougher than anybody in the ACC, for that matter. So catching 46 points, not saying they're going to win, but I do feel they can backdoor maybe this game somehow, some way in the second half.
I'm with you completely on that. Nebraska, Ohio State in the shoe. Ohio State laying 26 against Adrian Martinez, who's been playing at Nebraska for 25 years.
Yes, he has. It's amazing. I mean, again, this is another game, Scott. I mean, keep in mind that Penn State, Ohio State week number two. I mean, you know, Ohio State's only lost 4 games since 2015. They've won 5 straight against Nebraska, the last 4 by 36.7 points per game, and won this game last year 48-7. I'm only inclined to take the points, the big points. Week number one, I know it's Ohio State. I know it's Martinez and Scott Frost. Give me the 26 points. And again, I'm not a game I'm betting now, but I might bet from an in-game perspective. I can only look at the points as an underdog in this matchup.
Yeah, I don't like Nebraska at all. I think they should have stayed in the Big 12. I think in the Big 10, they've been a disaster. I'm sick and tired of hearing about how great Scott Frost is. He was great in his last job. He's been terrible in this job. And I'm going Buckeyes. NC State, North Carolina. Carver High said it best. He said, I'm done betting on North Carolina after the game against Florida State. He said he'll never bet on them again. They're laying 15.5 to NC State with their backup quarterback in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, and Hockman played the first game of the year against Wake Forest and got the victory. Again, I didn't think North Carolina was the 5th best team in the country. Defensive issues. This is a rivalry game. In the rivalry game with double-digit points, especially over 2 touchdowns, I'll take Dave Doran and the crew on the road.
Kansas State in Manhattan. I got crabs there once.
This is a tough one, Scotty, because Puka Williams, their starting running back for Kansas, opted out. So he's out. He's the best player on Kansas' team all year. I like Les Miles. I think he's done a great job back in the day at LSU, but he's up against it against Chris Klieman. I'm going to take the Wildcats, the more physical team, offensive, defensive line. Big number rivalry game, but I do feel that Kansas State covers this number fairly easy against the Jayhawks.
Auburn goes to Ole Miss and Oxford. Ole Miss had nothing but turnover problems last week, and I thought Bo Nix lost his mind in that game at Williams-Brice. I thought he got in all kinds of extracurricular nonsense, and I thought he made terrible plays. I didn't like what I saw. I thought he was I guess I was under the impression he was a lot better than he is. I'm not sure I'm a buyer in Bo Nix.
Yeah, I think the transition has hurt him with Chad Morris, a different type of scheme. You know, Auburn wants to run the football effectively. Now, they've done that over the last couple of weeks against Arkansas. And last week, even though they lost 30-22, they put up over 200 on South Carolina's defensive front. The problem I have is Ole Miss's defense. As great as their offense is, they're giving up 6.1 yards per carry, 53% on third down conversions. I don't even think Auburn puts the football in Bo Nix's hands. I think they run it down Ole Miss's throat. They're 16-4 straight up this the last 20 years since 2000, and they've won the last four by 13.2 points per game. Give me Auburn. This is one of my better picks of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm on Auburn as well. Oklahoma, TCU in Fort Worth. Oklahoma's laying 6.5.
Yeah, I like the underdog here. This is another one of my better picks. TCU plus the 6.5 plus the money line as well. I think they're a live dog. Oklahoma's won six straight, but that defense for TCU holding opposing quarterbacks 55% completion percentage. I actually think Gary Patterson is the better coach over Lincoln Riley, so the week off will benefit TCU. They lost this game by 4 in Norman last year with Jalen Hurts. I think they strike the upset over the Sooners this coming Saturday.
I like them with the number. I got it at 7.5. It moved to 6.5. I like them with the spread. Temple and Memphis. Big Memphis win over UCF last week. You and I both knew that was the game of the week, and it was. It was wild. I cannot believe how fast UCF moves the ball, and they're, you know, no huddle. I mean, they run 85 plays. But I thought Memphis was pretty tough. They're laying 13.5 to Temple.
Yeah, I know. This could be a letdown spot for Memphis here, but I'm going to lay the points. I was really impressed with the running game for Memphis. They wore down UCF. I don't like the way Temple's playing right now. I mean, they struggled with USF. That's not a physical team in terms of the interior. I think they could be up against it against the Tigers in this ballgame. I would lay the points with the Tigers. I think they keep the steam rolling. I like Brady White at quarterback as well.
I'm going to Memphis it and middle it with Temple getting the number on the other side. Florida State, Louisville in Louisville, and the Cards are laying 5. Can Florida State upset them because they got some confidence going right now?
Yeah, they can. I think right now Louisville Super Bowl was last week against Notre Dame. They've lost 4 straight. Traditionally, they play Florida State very tough, but Florida State has the momentum with Travis at quarterback, and I think they did. I really think that Florida State throttles Louisville this weekend. Not sold on where the Cardinals' mindset is. I think FSU rolls as an underdog in this ballgame.
All right, so I'm running out of time. I'm going to start hauling ass and going through some of these big games with you. Alabama, Tennessee in Knoxville. Alabama's laying 21.5.
Same thing like Louisville. This is Tennessee Super Bowl. Give me the 21.5 with the Vols.
God, they're so awful, though. I can't do it. I'm going Alabama. Iowa State, Oklahoma State in Stillwater. It's Okie State laying 3.5.
Yeah, they've won 7 of the last 8 straight up, even though ISU's covered 4 of the last 5. Give me Oklahoma State, one of my better picks this coming Saturday.
I'm with you. Penn State and Indiana, my alma mater in Bloomington. And Indiana's getting 6 from the Nittany Lions.
I didn't know you went to Indiana. I'm all over the Hoosiers, baby. They've covered the last 2. Give me Stevie Scott and the crew outright over Penn State.
That's right, son. I was there when Bob Knight, when Indiana beat Syracuse in the national championship game in 87, down 13 with 3 minutes to go, and they won the game on Keith Smart's jumper. I was on Bourbon Street that night. I was at the game and celebrated by eating a bag of mushrooms and going tripping on Bourbon Street for 8 hours. And I woke up naked in an alley with no pants on.
Where was Anthony Thompson back in the day? Where was he, baby?
He was a badass. Anthony, you remember Thompson. Him? All right, here we go. Vatek and Wake. Vatek laying 9.5.
Yeah, Vatek wins, but give me the 9.5 with Wake, and keep an eye out for Kenneth Walker. This is a stud at running back for the Demon Deacons.
I'm with you on that bet as well. Baylor, Texas, and Austin. Texas laying 8.5.
Another one of my better bets. I already took the Longhorns minus 10.5, minus 9.5, and I actually got 8.5 on FanDuel.
Yeah, me too. Iowa, Purdue in West Lafayette with their great receiver. Do you think they can upset the Hawkeyes? They're getting 3.
Yeah, they did a couple of years ago, but I would lean to Iowa. I picked them to win their half of the division, so I can't back down with a week one matchup. Give me the Hawkeyes. Don't love the game, though.
You keep making all kinds of money for me with Kentucky. You're going to take them in Columbia against Missouri, and it's UK laying 5.5.
Yeah, after that emotional win, Missouri typically plays Kentucky very tough. I'm not betting this game. I would lean to Kentucky, but don't like the game because of the spread, and Missouri's had a tendency to play them down to the wire, especially in Columbia.
All right, West Virginia, Texas Tech, and Lubbock. West Virginia laying 3.
I would lay the three with West Virginia on the road, but I like the over better in that matchup.
I think Texas Tech upsets them. South Carolina, LSU. LSU with a backup quarterback, laying six.
Yeah, I'm going to take South Carolina. I don't love the game. Go with the more consistent quarterback in Colin Hill and the more team coming off the upset. So I think you have house money with South Carolina.
Michigan playing in Minneapolis against the Gophers, laying three to Minnesota. Row the boat. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm all over Minnesota last year. This year I'm on the Wolverines, 12-2 straight up since 2000. I think they roll by double digits over the Golden Gophers, one of my better Big Ten bets of Saturday.
Wow. Virginia and Miami at Hard Rock. Miami laying 12 and a hook.
Yeah, I love Virginia in this matchup. Love Virginia. I already took them plus 12.5. I actually got them plus 13.5 tonight. I think the Cavs play tough. Miami wins, but they're not running the football consistently. Virginia, blue-collar team, they're going to force De'Ara King to work down the field, and that's something he struggled with in recent weeks. Give me Virginia plus the points.
I'm with you there. Same bet. Cincinnati, SMU, two unbeatens going at it in Dallas. SMU laying two and a hook.
Yeah, finesse team versus blue-collar team. I'll take the team in Cincinnati that can run the football, shut down the run, and wear you down. I like Cincinnati. That travels well on the road against Shane Bouchel. I think they get the outright win. Small upset for Cincinnati on the road.
Real quick, our boys in San Diego, the Aztecs, taking on the Rebs of UNLV in San Diego, laying 15.
Yeah, a lot of problems in COVID for UNLV. San Diego State covers.
All right. Hey, Joe, you're a badass. I love talking college football with you and football in general. Always love having you on the show. Enjoy the games Friday and Saturday. I'll talk to you again next week, brother. Have a fantastic weekend. I love you.
You too, brother. Love the show.
All right. Joe Lisi, the great one from College Football Today on events. We'll come back and try to hook up with our boy Morenci, sports rage style. All right, Pharrell on a bench. Sports Rage is coming up next with Morenci, and I'll see you tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Coast to Coast. So we saw the Giants just choke tonight, up 21-10 with like 6 minutes left. They lost the game 22-21. They let Wentz go down after Ingram had dropped a floater from Jones down the left sideline. They kicked the ball to him. They went 80 yards, whatever, maybe even further, and he threw it to Scott, back shoulder. He scored, and that's that. 22-21. Giants lose to the Eagles. That's crazy. And then tomorrow we've got a great one. Bueller and Morton, game three of the World Series. Morenci, what'd you think of the Giants blowing that game tonight? And who do you like, Bueller or Morton?
Yeah, you know what? The New York Giants so close to pulling off the upset this evening, but this is what bad football teams do. You talked about it. Engram's a good player, but you've got to make that play. That's the difference between winning and losing the football game. 3.5 hours of my life I'm never getting back, Scotty, and I didn't even lose money on that football game. And I'm questioning my life and like the decisions I make. Because I sit here watching a game like, oh, I need another catch from this loser of like the biggest loser fest in the world. And listen, I love Terry Bradshaw. But after the game, Terry Bradshaw said it was high level football played between both teams, Scotty. That's pretty much when I decided I have to go buy a gun and just end it.
Yeah, like high level my ass. How about horrible football with all kinds of turnovers and bad plays and horrible play calling? I thought it was atrocious. Who do you like, Bueller or Morton tomorrow?
Well, I like the Dodgers to win the series, so I sort of have the theory I'm just going to take the Dodgers in every game all the way through here. We'll see if Bueller can give them more than four innings, though, but I'm going to go back with the Dodgers here, Scotty.
All right, should be awesome. Have a great show, Morenci. I'll see you tomorrow. Mafia, great job. Again, it's Pharrell on the bench. We'll catch up with you. Giants lose to the Eagles, 22-21. Good night.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Comfort is often the first thing we're willing to give up, like taking a long flight for a vacation or waking up early for a workout. But don't let style be the reason you aren't comfy. Mack Weldon's Ace Collection makes it effortless to look put together while feeling truly comfortable. No compromises needed. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed pieces to keep you comfortable anywhere. Inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, the Ace Collection combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks. Upgrade your collection for the new year with new bomber jackets, half-zips, sweats, crewnecks, and much more. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of modern life. They look like regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. Get comfortable anywhere with the Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MAC25.